welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
We're two anxious counselors who've already started our mimosas. Welcome.
Cheers.
We have a podcast.
This is our podcast. That's what I was trying to say earlier.
Hi.
You threw me off because you said you were Macy right away.
Oh, because I went off script.
And I wanted to say this is our podcast because
you can't do it out of order, can you?
But then I was like, but that'd be weird if I don't say who I am when you just said who you were.
No, you're right. It would have been weird. Yeah, agreed.
We are having mimosas, which is a breakfast cocktail, and we are having it in the evening because we're fucking punk rock like that.
Yeah. Who says mimosas are only for the morning?
Some people
do. It's refreshing.
I don't follow those rules. Those rules are not for me. They're for other people.
It's for other people. And I don't know, weddings. I don't like. I have a couple things I want to check in about today.
Okay, great. I'm still crying, by the way. Happy tears.
Happy. Didn't we just finish saying before this started that nobody wants to hang out with us?
Yes.
It's not happy.
Maybe it's tears of relief.
Maybe. Okay, so the first thing, Britney Spears, I've been seeing much more about the conservatorship stuff out and about. So
let's talk about this.
Yeah, so I'm trying not to get swayed too much by the media because there's a lot of, you know, free Britney stuff out there. Also trying to keep in balance that, like, you know, I do honestly trust that the court's going to take in all the information. However, I don't think it wouldn't be reasonable for them, or it would be reasonable for them to find a different guardian if they felt like a guardian had to happen.
Because there may be a big conflict of interest.
Yeah, I can't in my brain find a way to work around the fact that they could do that and that would be reasonable.
Yeah, and then somebody just quit the case.
I can't remember who it was. The court appointed lawyer for Britney.
So that is important to me.
Well, because if you think about it, all the media attention, they probably don't want to be like attached to all of this that's going on, because if things go certain ways, it makes them look certain ways. But I saw that it was her mom that was saying that she should be allowed to get her own private lawyer after this happened.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know the details of this. I mean, there could be some serious mental illness going on that would endanger her life or her children's lives. Mm-hmm. So
I saw a thing posted by her sister that was like, I don't care, I'm paraphrasing, if she goes out in the middle of nowhere and has a million babies, like she should have the freedom over herself. And that is where we get in that, like, that gray area of grave disability. Like, I doubt it's specifically that, but I think she was exaggerating. Like, I don't care what she wants to do. She has the right to do it.
Well, unless it's going to endanger her life or someone else's life, then in our country, that is illegal.
Yeah. And I think that's the piece that I think is missing from the public ear, at least.
Because, which it should be.
Yeah.
That's PHI.
Yeah. In which everybody is really focused on, like, well, she should be able to do what she wants. Yes, within reason.
Right. I think that...
I don't think it's all about...
We can't assume that we know what's really going on and to just rush to those judgments.
Yeah.
To rush to free Britney, I think we may be missing the big picture here.
Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why your dad has to be the person, though.
No, that has felt weird.
Yeah, and he may be about the money, and it may be that aspect may be misused. I'm not speaking to that part at all, actually.
Yeah, so like you said, getting somebody who's not family to play that role, getting a private lawyer, those are moves in the right direction for autonomy.
Because you can get
old Brit.
Yeah, neutral guardians that are just appointed from an agency that have no stake in it. Yes. Okay, so I wanted to bring that up.
I have a couple Britney songs on my running playlist.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen so much of it lately, and it's like her name is popping up everywhere. So, and then the second thing, last week I started watching Dance Moms.
Didn't you ridicule me?
Yes.
And for binge watching every episode?
And I have to tell you, I have not stopped watching YouTube clips of Dance Mom. I haven't even watched a full episode. I just watch random clips endlessly of Dance Moms.
Every episode until, you know, it fell apart and Abby went to jail. And
yeah,
when the Ziegler girls left, I was done at that point. But every episode before that, I watched obsessively.
Yeah, no, I've been, because they just throw like these juicy clips at you constantly. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. You know, I the moms would drive me crazy. I don't blame Abby for being mean to them, because who would want the parent to come out and try to tell you how to coach the child? Like, go away. And my dad was a football coach. I know how that goes.
Yeah, don't coach your kids.
But I think
let the coach coach.
I think they had to do the filming. And then they created these like fake scenarios where like, hey, your child just got told this. And then like, you know, they're staging conflict.
The part that I thought was really interesting is how not only are these dancers, but then they're all trying to have these like singing careers as well.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Which is like interesting. Like all of them were. Like it was competitive. Like, yeah. Oh, so and so's video is getting made, you know.
Yeah, yeah. On MTV or whatever it is. Yeah. Anyways, it's been I like watching the dances, just like I like watching random what is it? Like America's Got Talent or things like that, where you see like the really cool.
I usually just watch the golden buzzer highlights.
Yeah, that's it.
And then I'm sobbing by the end of it.
Like, she had cancer and she sang a song. Like, it's so good.
Everybody, you know,
everyone's emotional.
I mean, the producers, yeah, they really draw that emotion. They like zoom in on the crowd where people are
slow motion drop to their knees.
Standing up.
It'll be that little kid who like got bullied all their life. They give you just enough of a backstory that when they're crying, you're like, you were me. I connect with you.
Yes. I mean, I wonder
your dreams
if
came true.
Someone who is just talented and didn't have a tragic backstory would ever have a chance of winning on that show or even getting
like
on that
show.
Like
if you just went up there and was like, no, I just worked really hard to get here.
Yeah. Or maybe even my parents paid for voice lessons my entire life.
Yeah.
And I'm really good.
Yeah. And I've been practicing.
But I've been privileged and have never had tragedy. Mm-hmm. Like, would they even get it on the show?
I haven't seen them. Anyways, those are my updates. I'm still watching Dance Mom clips. I can't tell you that I'm off of it yet. I'm very addicted.
I feel like there was some pretty harsh judgment that came my way about that a while back. Or maybe that was from Toddlers and Tiaras.
It was Toddlers and Tiaras.
It's kind of the same thing, though.
No, I get that. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Except a younger age set and more spray tans.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like watching the Abby Lee yell at people. That's actually my favorite part in the whole show.
Do you think sometimes she's too harsh, like she crosses a line?
I think she's a strict dance instructor, but I never saw her, like, it was once the parents got involved. Like, she would cross a line when parents got involved is what I would notice. And I'd be like, okay, I don't, like, you're here at a private studio. If you don't want that, and then leave. I didn't see her be abusive to the kids. I saw her be very strict.
I feel like there was some moments where lines were crossed and I was like, ooh, that's mean. That's just mean.
Oh,
like emotional abuse.
She was definitely mean on several occasions, but again, I still pit it on the parent. Like, you're literally watching everything that happens. You don't want your daughter to be with the mean instructor who crosses lines frequently. Then pull your daughter out. Don't put her through that.
Do you think Abby used to be a dancer?
I think they said that she was.
I would have loved, I think that part was missing. Like, I would have loved to see some old footage of Abby as a dancer.
I bet you we could, like,
all
dig
she's
it
doing
out.
Is kind of like sitting around on her ass during the show. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Which puzzles me, because if I had a passion for dance, such that drove me to actually open my own dance studio, mm-hmm. I think I would be still dancing.
Yeah. I mean, unless she has a physical something, maybe.
I mean, I think I would be doing arm dancing or foot dancing. I'd be doing something.
I don't think I'd be arm dancing. I mean, I have to say, like, I've seen her give really good dance critiques. Like, it's not like she's just, like, there. I mean, I've watched enough at this point. And I'm like, okay, she's watching every, like, and she's giving them really good corrections that is improving their performance.
Yes.
So that, you know, if that's your thing and that helps you, great. And if not, then you probably shouldn't have her as your dance instructor because she's kind of mean.
Now, what if she was a failed dancer and that's why she's such a harsh critic?
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, like food critics or whatever are supposed to be like failed chefs.
I mean, I have to say, growing up with my dad being a football coach, like what happens is they play football. They usually go out because of an injury and then they end up coaching football. And they were all strict back in the day, at least with, you know, if you showed up late, everyone's, you know, doing push-ups and you're not. You know, and that's like makes you feel ashamed and embarrassed and they all hate you. Like that's the epitome of emotional abuse. But that was the thing.
Group public shaming is always effective.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. But it's also like peer, like in and out group type modeling stuff.
Absolutely. So. Yeah.
Okay. So that was my dance mom rant. That's all. I've been enjoying it.
I've been binge watching a show that I'm late to the game with, but I just heard about it. It's called Search Party on HBO. There's another movie called Search Party. Do not mistake that for what I'm talking about, which is an amazing series that has Aaliyah Shawkat in it.
Okay.
Who I love. You know who she is, right? Yeah. She's like the freckled girl from Arrested Development. And she was in Whip It also. Yeah, okay. She works at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's super cute. I didn't know that. Cutie pie. So she's the star of the show, and it's so well written, so funny, but like twisted. It's Netflix? Really HBO Max.
HBO. Okay. Yeah. I got that. All
it's right. Really good. Like I'm like just always like waiting till I have an opportunity to watch the next show. I'm kind of glad I'm late to the game because now I have all these seasons to watch.
You catch up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my only check-in.
Okay. Great.
Oh, it's been hot.
I know we just talked about like it's the first day since it's been, you know, 98 instead of 100 and now it's 100 again today. No,
all my flowers are dying. My yard's too hot. We need some damn rain. We need rain.
Yeah. And cooler
weather.
Too hot,
too dry.
Yeah, I went to the West Coast and it was cool. It was like a nice 80 degrees in the daytime and 60 at night. I could sleep.
I'd probably need a coat.
It did feel a little chilly. All right, so you get to go first today. I'm happy about that.
I'm excited.
I don't want to say that my topic has no substance today, but it kind of has no substance, but I'm still excited about it.
Mine has substance for both of us.
Good.
If this was going to be categorized, the category would be...
Substance.
Social justice or injustice. Justice, injustice. Social justice needed. It is
due
an injustice.
Justice. Yes.
How's that? I really want to wear my glasses. Maybe if I make this 100 font.
Why don't you want to wear your glasses?
Because I can only see this, then everything else is a big blur.
Okay.
And plus these have an ugly glare.
I can't see this. You can make it as big as you want.
No, I'm at like 120 font right now. So I am going to talk about redlining. Have you heard of that?
No.
Did you watch the horror series that recently came out on Amazon called Them.
Mm-mm.
So redlining was like the backstory of it. It wasn't that great a show in my opinion. I think it was dealing with this subject, which is horrifying enough, I think, in itself that the addition of like all these supernatural storylines were completely unnecessary.
It was just too much.
It was too much going on. It was kind of like how American Horror Story gets. It's like, yeah. Oh, we need ghosts and aliens.
We need a Trump replica and clowns.
Yeah. It's like too much going on. So, you know, that's on Amazon. I don't know. Some people probably like it, but I did watch the whole thing, so it wasn't that bad. I'd say a 3 out of 5. Watchable, but I wouldn't recommend it or rewatch it. So here's some color codes. Green equals the best.
Okay.
Blue equals still desirable. Yellow is definitely declining. And red is hazardous. So
is this about my face?
So the red, the hazard is where that word redlining comes from.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me tell you all about redlining. So this is government sanctioned racist segregation policies that are still impacting today. Do you remember when I did the health disparities topic?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of like, well, all these things are happening. These could be some of the reasons that are probably leading to it. Mm-hmm. Well, as it turns out, this redlining may be the cause of all of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's dive in.
Yes.
I'm going to take another sip of my mimosa.
Beverage.
I'm hearing some buzzing still in the mic situation.
You mean the random ones?
Yeah, the humming.
Yeah.
Is that me?
No, the random one is because I have to hold my cable the whole time.
Oh, does your thumb get tired?
A little bit.
I can see how it would.
And then sometimes I just forget and I drop it and then I hear it and I grab it again.
You need a holder, like a belt or something. Would that help? Like a belt? That
no, went? What, belt?
I don't know.
I mean, thanks for trying to be helpful.
Trying to use my tools.
You have a belt?
I have belts. Doesn't everybody have belts?
I don't think I have a belt.
You don't own a belt.
Why do I need a belt? I buy pants that fit me.
Well, sometimes it's for the style.
Oh, I'm not stylish.
Like if you're wearing a tunic, you can cinch it up with a belt.
What's a tunic?
It's a long shirt dress thing.
Is it a shirt or is it a dress?
Tunics are, it's both. Tunics are great because if you want to cover your butt, like when you're wearing yoga pants, tunics are great.
So it's not, okay. So
like if you're going to go to the store after yoga and you don't want to just be straight in your tight ass yoga pants.
You don't want people to see your butt. That's what a tunic is.
You can, yeah. A tunic is a butt cover.
Okay. Got it.
That's its essential function and definition.
Thank you. And sometimes it looks cute with the belt.
Yeah. If you want to, cinch it with a belt.
Okay.
So let's take it back to the 1930s, the time of the Great Depression. So Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who we've talked about his hair before on the show.
I'm sure we have.
You share the same hair.
Oh, yeah.
Currently.
Oh, yeah. Of his childhood.
Yes. Yeah. So FDR has this great solution called the New Deal.
Remember that.
To revitalize the American economy. And this New Deal created the middle class that we have today. The dwindling middle class that we have today, I should say. So the Public Works Administration created public housing, but it was separate housing for Black and white folks. So the housing that was created was really supposed to be for white, lower and middle class families. And this created the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So there were low interest mortgage programs to create these homes, to build these homes. And the banks were instructed to approve mortgage loans to build a house for anyone who applied, anyone at all, except if you were Black.
Rude.
Yes. So the Federal Housing Administration, well, it wasn't called that at that time, and now it is, had an underwriting manual that prohibited the occupancy of properties except for the race for which they were intended. So, segregation. So it said, incompatible racial groups should not be permitted to live in the same communities. So that meant that loans to Black Americans could not be insured. It also said that highways would be a good way to separate African American from white neighborhoods.
What? Okay. Yeah. And when you often see like how like freeways are built and then there's like lower income communities along like that fence line or the wall there.
Exactly.
What? Okay. Yeah. So that was all intentional. Of course it was.
It was intentional.
Wow.
So once you start diving into this, you realize just what you said, how intentional a lot of this stuff was. And in fact, during World War II, the banks would not approve this white housing new development until a 6-foot wall was put up to separate it from a Black neighborhood so that the Blacks couldn't even walk into the white neighborhood. And that wall still exists today.
What?
So the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration's justification was that if Black Americans bought homes in these suburbs, or if they bought homes even near these suburbs, the property value of the homes they were insuring, the white homes, would decline, and therefore their loans would be at risk.
Okay. So they, I mean, everyone has a stake in it then, which is unfortunate.
But there was no research behind this. There was no basis for these claims at all.
Just a bunch of racists.
And in fact, when Black Americans tried to buy homes in all white or mostly white neighborhoods, the property values actually rose because the Black Americans were more willing to pay more money than the properties were even worth because they really wanted, you know, those limited options, and they wanted mm-hmm. to move their families into
these. So they were charged even more money.
Yes.
Wow.
There were fewer choices. So there's no kinds of study on this. There was no reasoning behind this whole process. So there was maps created of every single metropolitan area in the country, and the maps were color-coded according to those colors that I mentioned earlier, the blue, green, yellow, red. And so this would indicate where it was safe to insure mortgages. So anywhere Black Americans lived, or anywhere where Black Americans lived nearby, these were colored red to indicate to appraisers that these neighborhoods were too risky to insure mortgages. So that's where the term redlining comes from.
Does that tie in with what I've seen about, like, in political voting, with like how they like create the maps for voting in different ways around different communities?
I don't know. What's that about?
A future topic. So I'm not going to talk about what I don't know about. All I know, I've heard about that before, that basically the
that sounds super interesting,
that like the different areas, how they can make it where people who are in lower income communities or areas with more minority populations have less ability to have weighing vote.
I'm sure it's related.
Yeah,
if it is based on neighborhoods.
Yeah, and that's what their whole there. It's because they vote on the lines, where the lines are, and they do it in a very intentional way.
Interesting.
That's all I know. My dad told me more about that, so I'll learn more.
So there was the Fair Housing Act that eventually put an end to redlining. It became illegal in 1968. Mm. But surprise, surprise, there is a lasting legacy to this. These racist policies.
Well, they literally built communities around these racist policies.
Yes. I mean, the takeaway from this is that the U.S. government created ghettos. That's like the big takeaway.
Yeah.
So let's explore the legacy, shall we?
Yes, let's shall.
So as recently as 2015, banks were caught using redlining maps.
Hmm.
Did I say 2015? Like it was plural?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2015 singular.
Confused my brain. Okay. Yeah. So, and I mean, that's not that long ago.
No, that's 6 years ago. Most redlined neighborhoods are still low income Black and brown neighborhoods. So let's look at the areas of impact for generations of Black individuals in the areas of wealth, education, and criminal justice. So wealth. Homeownership is the number one method of accumulating wealth. So even when Black people were able to purchase a home, the homes in Black neighborhoods are valued at an average 25% lower than homes in white neighborhoods. That's currently now.
Wow.
So even if the homes are similar, neighborhoods are less valuable. And folks living in these neighborhoods pay higher insurance premiums.
Why? If your property is being valued lower, why would you pay higher insurance?
Good question. And they pay higher interest rates.
Again, why?
And are denied mortgages more often.
Again, why? Other than just embedded...
Yeah, I think it's
embedded racism,
implicit
and
bias.
Well, and maybe just overt bias.
And yeah, explicit bias. Mm-hmm. Explicit racism. So white families have been able to send their children to college with their home equities. They're able to take care of their parents in old age and not depend on their children. They're able to pass on wealth to their children. So none of these advantages accrued to Black Americans because they weren't allowed to buy homes in these properties, these areas that increased in value that are now, you know, a lot more valuable than they were originally. Whereas the homes in these Black neighborhoods have decreased in value. So you see that gap widening, that wealth gap. Criminal justice. So I'll give an example in Baltimore, but I'm sure this is the same everywhere. Even though rates of illegal drug use is the same for Black and white individuals in that area, Black people are 3 times more likely to be arrested. And I saw a map of where the arrests are happening, and you could just lay it right on top of the redlining map.
Wow.
It's so all concentrated in, like, the Black neighborhood.
Patrolling, which we, yeah, I mean, that could be a whole nother topic about profiling in general. And
yeah, if you
going in those communities more often, obviously there's going to be more Black people there than white people. And if that's where you're patrolling,
I'm sure if the cops camped out in South Hill, they'd be catching more stuff than they do. But they don't.
There is a lot of, you know, property damage, or not damage, like thievery. Mm-hmm. And that just goes, you know, who cares, because it's in white communities and there aren't enough patrols there because they're patrolling in the communities that don't need it.
Yes. So the arrests were really concentrated exclusively in the former redlined areas of the map. And then it's even harder to get out of jail once you're arrested. So in Maryland, 13 of the 15 zip codes for the highest bails were in former red line neighborhoods.
Mm.
So more arrests and tougher to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a whole nother topic.
I know. Each one I'm having racial, these, like, that's a topic. That's a topic. That's a topic.
The overrepresentation in prisons is a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and even like profiling for like lineups and bias with like if you have a white middle-aged lady doing a lineup of who robbed her and has 5 Black men in front of her in a lineup, and she picks somebody and it's completely not the person, but
right.
And people go to jail for that.
People go to jail for a lot of years for that kind of stuff. So the other area is education. So most of our school funding comes from local property taxes.
Yes.
And redlining has impacted education. So Black cities can't produce taxes at as high a rate as white suburbs. So this creates vast disparities between schools that serve Black and Latino kids and schools that serve white kids.
Yeah, they don't get as much resources. I mean, that's everything from computers to new textbooks, like, and not just new textbooks, but like getting current, like, versions. So you're not using one that has outdated information from 12 years
or
ago
even
or
having
more.
Textbooks.
Yeah, even having them. So having to share. Yeah.
Redlining was outlawed in the 60s, 1968, but there was no property reevaluation process. It wasn't like there was a fresh start. So the things that were set in motion have their impact has continued. So an example of that is in Detroit, that borders right on a very wealthy white area. So the schools in Detroit are falling apart. I don't know if you've ever seen videos, like they're literally falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the schools in the wealthy white area right across the border in Grosse Pointe, they have marble floors. Yeah, you have to laugh. It's laugh or cry, right?
It is. It is.
Yes. So redlining created poor neighborhoods, which led to underfunded schools, more poverty, and more Black people in prison. And, you know, this legacy continues. So the hood was intentionally created by the government to oppress Black people through a federal policy that would impact for generations to come. So I just went over just their health and education and criminal justice, but I mean health, wealth, but I would add health.
Oh, like, yeah. And the health disparities. Health. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and it just makes me so upset when I hear people or even just see people post that like white privilege is not a thing. And to me, I'm like, you just aren't trying to, you're just not trying at all to even just look outside of your own bubble.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
Because it's literally all right there. Like, it's not hard. You can find all this information on the internet. It exists. If you spend 50 hours watching Dance Moms, you could figure this out and know the truth. But they don't want to.
No, because what would that mean?
That they're not a racist anymore and they can't handle that. But they don't like the R word, I've learned.
Do you want to talk about Spokane?
Oh boy, do I. I'm going to sit back.
So this is everywhere, but we live in Spokane. So I thought, let's look at Spokane. So in Spokane as well, researchers have found that redline neighborhoods are more likely today to be home to a largely minority population with persistent economic inequality. So 91% of the areas deemed best or blue in the 1930s remain middle to upper income today, and 85% of them are predominantly white. So little has changed.
Mm-mm, yeah.
So our city's history of systemic discrimination dates back to the 1800s. Have you ever wondered why Spokane is so white?
I've just noticed.
So we're 89% white. That was
really white.
The last measure. It was like maybe last year or something.
Yeah. I was, so coming from the west side, and I lived in a pretty white area as well on the west side, but I was still more used to diverse populations. And when I came to Spokane freshman year of high school, and it was like, there's literally one black person enrolled in Mount Spokane High School when I went there. One minority student. That was it.
I wonder what that felt like. Oh, goodness. So this is Spokane's story, but I'm sure this is a similar story to other places. So as white European settlers came west, the original inhabitants of our region, the Spokane and Kootenai tribes were violently relocated to reservations and to effectively end the resistance. Remember we went on our field trip? George Wright killed 800 Indian horses. We went to the spot where they were slaughtered. 800 horses. And that really ended their fight.
We saw the whole shoreline where they herded all of them up and just killed them all. Mass slaughter.
Yeah. And hardly anybody knows about that. And
there's a monument and it's like off of even like you have to physically move off the trail.
You can't drive to it either. Even get it. It's there. On a trail. Like you can't drive past it and see a marker.
And it's been relocated. It's not even where it actually happened. They have homes, very rich homes
on the river.
On the river, blocking access to this mass burial.
Yeah, because we wanted to actually go to the actual site, but it was across the river on private property.
Yeah, they have it next to the freeway.
That's right.
MFers.
So, and just until last year, we had a major street named after old George Wright. They just changed it in 2020. Like, that's horrifying.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, horrifying.
During COVID, would they get bored? Like,
yeah, they're like, oh, we better just address some of these complaints, I guess, now. So today, Native Americans make up less than 2% of Spokane's population.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So in the late or the 1880s, it could be early, I'm not sure, cheap labor was brought in from China to support our railroad industry. But the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 meant that the Chinese were not really welcome here and could not make a life here, and so largely left the area. Japanese immigrants arrived in the 1890s, and they were also attracted to opportunities to work in the rail industry. But in 1921, the Alien Land Law was passed. The Alien Land Law. That's nice. That prohibited Asians from owning land. So after that, the number of Japanese families in Spokane
also began to decline.
Do you know we used to have a Chinatown?
Really?
Yeah. You can see photos of it.
Wow. Where area?
It was like downtown somewhere. Like one end of downtown. Yeah, we had Chinatown. Like
that would have been cool. I could have got something really good.
So, you know, we had a huge indigenous population to start with until we slaughtered them all. Mm-hmm. And then we had a Asian population that we did not welcome and provide opportunity for.
I have to say, in California, the Chinatown there, have you been there?
Are you fucking kidding me? Have I been to Chinatown in San Francisco? Where I was born.
It's really nice. That's all. It's really good. There's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I really enjoy visiting it. And I'm sure you've loved to visit it all the time.
So when I was little, my Leong grandparents, they had an apartment in Chinatown. So I used to go visit them all the time. The Leongs. And they would buy me candy. Chinese candy. And I actually knew some Chinese when I was little. But I know nothing now.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a hard, isn't like Mandarin super crazy hard?
It is, but you know, when you're a little kid, you just pick stuff up. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they passed away and.
Yeah, it just fades.
It just fades away.
Yeah.
Use it or lose it.
That's what happened during COVID. Everyone forgot how to talk to each other.
Oh, that's a whole nother topic. Black Americans began to arrive here in the 1800s. Now listen to this. When the Great Northern Railroad brought black workers to live in Hilliard, white workers would not let them get off the train.
Wow. Well, and we're like right up next to Idaho, and you've covered that in a few previous topic too with the KKK little
the white supremacist compound.
Yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. It's really unfortunate, but.
Yeah. So, we have factors here. Genocide. Forced displacement.
And none of that's talked about.
Industry and immigration policy largely dictated who lived in Spokane. So, that's part of why Spokane is so white. And nobody talks about it.
Mm-mm. Well, and I feel like it continues today.
So let's look at our map. You want to see our map?
Yeah, I do. You're going to post that, right, on Facebook for folks?
I will, yes.
Okay.
Let me mark where I was so I can come back. Okay, here's our map. Let me make it a little smaller so you can see it. So this was from back in 1929.
Okay, so yeah, I see the red zone. Oh, wow.
So okay, where's
downtown?
Best.
Where's downtown? Is
like
that
right here?
Okay.
Nobody lives there, so it's white.
Gotcha.
Back then, nobody lived there.
Yeah, yeah.
So blue, this is South Hill.
Mm-hmm, which is still like white money.
Still, yep.
Old money.
We have these blue areas here, which is still big, rich houses. This is like the other side of the river, but on the
view. Yeah, that's on the view end, yeah.
Yeah, we have our East Central here, mm-hmm, red. Mm-hmm. I'm yellow.
I'm in a red neighborhood. I feel like that's something that you should actually be proud of.
I don't know. Okay. And then here's Hilliard. So red. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So really a lot has not changed.
No.
So I'll post that and then people can like zoom in and find where they live if you're local. So in the 1960s, most of our black population lived in the East Central neighborhood. Today, the East Central neighborhood is still the most non-white neighborhood in Spokane.
Which makes sense. Like, people raise their families and their kids grow up and might...
Well, and if your home has no value, then how are you going to
You're not
going to
sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have the money to relocate. So, though black people in Spokane make up only 2% of the population, the barriers to acquiring intergenerational wealth have led to an overrepresentation in government programs. So 5% in Spokane live in project housing, and 8.6% hold Section 8 housing vouchers.
Hmm.
And in Spokane, people of color have lower home ownership rates and higher mortgage denials compared to white individuals.
I mean, it's, yeah.
So even though these things became outlawed in 1968, there are continued practices, whether it's implicit or explicit racism.
Well, and there's, I mean, like, I've totally had white privilege, because when I say, like, when I went to go get my house, I didn't have a ton of money to put down. I didn't have a ton extra. I was like fresh into adulthood. And then it, and I had like car loans, and I remember like them like trying to get me that loan. So they were like, really, like, how about this, you know, this program could help you. And, you know, and they like walked me, they made sure I got that loan. There was nobody that made me feel like I couldn't get it.
And everybody should have that experience.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's white privilege right there.
So, you know, our interstate, the I-90?
Yeah.
It was purposely put down to dissect the East Central neighborhood, which was a thriving Black community, and it pretty much destroyed the economy there. It destroyed the businesses.
So which, for say which part of the, where in Spokane?
You know, I-90, the freeway?
Yeah, no, I know that. But which, but you said it was to cut up.
Yeah, you know where the East Central neighborhood is over there?
Okay. Yeah, of, like farther, a little.
Lower Altamont. Oh,
yeah.
So it was a thriving community.
Yeah, I could see that. And
putting the freeway right in the middle of it, just the businesses couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. It destroyed the economy. Now it's, you know, a really lot of struggling. Low income there.
Yeah. And there's, they forced people to leave too for the North-South freeway that they're trying to put in.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just about to say.
Oh, good. Go
where did they choose the path for the North-South freeway?
Oh, yeah, right through all the low-income neighborhoods.
Right through Hilliard, which is our lowest income zip codes in Spokane.
And they bring it straight through that East Central neighborhood. That's where the
connection.
Also,
they took out all those houses. You know all those empty areas next to the freeway? Those were all houses.
Yeah,
They forced people out of their homes and... Mm-hmm. And, took the homes down.
Yeah, you just see, like, boarded up windows.
Yeah. It's terrible. So, there are lots of these areas in Spokane that still have racially restrictive covenants on their real estate paperwork that say specifically, no race or nationality other than the white race shall use or occupy any building on any lot, except that this covenant shall not prevent occupancy by domestic servants of a different race or nationality. So that's nice. You can have servants that are not white.
So that still exists on...
Yes. So racially restrictive covenants still exist in three specific South Hill neighborhoods that are in the Comstock Park area. They exist in the Audubon neighborhood.
Okay.
They exist in Shadle Park and some parts of Spokane Valley, so you better check yours.
I'm right by the train tracks. I'm pretty sure they're okay you're with probably me being good. There. It's probably the one street over, though, because there's some pretty nice houses on that street. A lot of old people.
And then some areas in northeast Spokane. Mm. So... even though these are supposed to be not legally binding anymore, they still are on.
Yeah, like update your freaking paperwork. Give me a break.
You can't. I looked into this.
You mean you can't?
You can't.
Send a new DocuSign. Give me a.
No, I looked up.
Give me a break.
There's a whole website. So you can't erase it, but you can record a modification that clarifies. That
I don't want to clarify. I want to take that shit out.
So it says recording. This is from the website. Recording a modification document will provide notice in the land title records that the racially restrictive covenant is void and unenforceable. It will not delete the historic record. The modification document legally strikes, but does not physically erase the void and illegal discriminatory provisions from the original document. So you can't get rid of it. And I don't understand why. It makes no sense to me.
No, I mean, like, why is it historically imperative to...
It's like you're just, what is this modification? Like, you just put a line through
literally...
Like, you initial and say, oh, no.
Well, no, it'll still show up and they'll just have a new document down here, but that'll still be there. And, I mean, I could see people saying, like, you know, like, cancel culture. We don't want to get rid of...
Well, take things. A fucking picture and put it in the museum.
Well, and that's the thing, like, okay, but... Are you doing more harm? I mean, counseling mind here, like, is it more harmful to keep it?
I think it is.
Because it's forever attached to that person's piece of land, and someone looking at it will see that.
And there's fear that it could be enforced at some point in the future.
Yeah, like...
If it's why is it there if we don't need it there?
Yeah, like, okay, do we have a political government in office at the moment that... allows that to be crossed off, and then will that just get flipped and changed?
Exactly. No, I understand. Like,
all of a sudden enforceable.
I do want a historical record of it because it's important to know that we want to
be able to show what happened.
But, you know, let's frame it and put it in the museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, here's how we horribly mistreated people.
Yep. Look how racist our government.
Yeah, and put it in the display and possibly case.
Still is.
And donate the proceeds to low-income neighborhoods. How about that?
So I have one final bit.
Okay.
Give me this. So you know how it's been hot?
It's been very hot.
And we actually had, like, record-breaking heat. Was that last week?
I mean, it hasn't gone away.
No, it hasn't gone away, but it's not like that.
It wasn't, you know, it's not 112. It was 100 today, but it's not 112.
Yes. So, you know, it's hot. I every evening have been going out at night when the shade goes in my backyard, mm-hmm. and like sitting in the shade there and like, ah, yeah. Like it's too hot in the house. Good,
yeah.
You know, I don't have central AC, like chilling out there. And I learned recently that shade is a privilege that is related to this whole thing. Would you like to see a shade map of Spokane?
What the fuck? Yes.
No, I stumbled across this and I was like, oh my God, this is perfect.
I feel like this is
mind-blowing. The shade map. Does it look similar to another map you may have seen like about 2 minutes ago?
Where there is shade, there are white money.
Look at that. The most shady area in Spokane is the blue money white areas.
Wow.
Look at Hilliard. No shade at
Yeah,
all.
Which we've been out there. We skated out there and we got burned no AF.
Yeah, like Hilliard is gray on this map. No shade.
Wow. At all. So basically, that land gets hiked up, or you know, makes it where people can't afford to be in those areas, or they plant and make artificial.
Yeah. So, you know, the shade seems to follow the money.
Crazy. I never thought about that.
Yeah. So
what you blow in my mind?
Just being able to beat the heat by sitting under the shade of a tree has to do with where you live, which has to do with government.
Well, it's totally about
systemic segregation.
It is about like the ability to have comfort and even just like the ability to live a comfortable life. Everyone should have, not saying that things can't be hard, but you should be able to find comfort in the shade of your backyard on a 112 degree day. And those communities aren't getting it.
Oh, and this is all our city. It's not like this is some faraway area in the desert. This is, you know, literally 10 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you can like, yeah. Yep.
Isn't that shocking?
Shocking.
So that's redlining and the continuing legacy of.
Oh, that was good to learn. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Government's systemic racist segregation policies.
Super good. Are you ready to have a topic that is
I'm ready for anything. I'm not relevant or important at all.
Okay, enjoy it. You can't look at the screen though, because I couldn't print things.
You know,
off,
I can't see anything anyway.
That's so. Actually very accurate. Okay. I feel less bad. All right. It's November 1998. What were you doing in 1998?
How old was I? 27. I was 27. Okay. Oh, I had a 1-year-old Skylar.
Oh, so you might actually have some relevance in this.
Oh, is it about 1-year-olds.
It's about the hot new Hasbro toy called the Furby.
Did he ever have any relevance?
He never owned a Furby. What kind of parent are you?
I've heard of a Furby, but I don't know what it is.
You've never seen one?
I'm picturing something in my head, but it might not be.
I would like you
to
pull up a picture of a Furby because you need context image wise. I owned a Furby. It was actually, I owned two Furbies in my lifetime. There was a giraffe Furby and a zebra colored Furby.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that face.
Yeah, so those, there's like all these different kinds of Furbies.
Yeah, so I mean, they kind of look like gremlins.
Yeah, they're a little gremlin-y. So they came out in 1998.
Wow, $74?
They were expensive. So they were like high tech at the time.
I like that Chewbacca furry.
And this is why I actually came with my topic today. And I have to say, it came from me looking up a photo from your last topic. When I looked up Jiffy Pop, within one of the photos was a Furby, because apparently Jiffy Pop and Furbies go together. So I found...
And you have to listen to the last episode to know why we're even talking about Jiffy Pop.
Yeah, so listen to everything. So...
Everything.
Furbies. They talked to kids, and they started off like talking almost like gibberish, like a baby. And then the more your Furby got to know you, they started like learning and talking, and you could talk back and forth with your Furby.
AI.
Sort of.
Oh.
So a lot of conspiracy theories started to develop about Furbies, and there's a lot of myths about them. I have to tell you that I had a breaking point with my Furby where I had to take the batteries out and put it in the closet because like it just continued to talk forever. And it wouldn't stop, and I had to put it in the closet. I don't even know where it is to this day. I know I didn't throw it away. It's probably
is this related to your ET nightmare?
No, actually, it's not. It's a little
ET
close
come
to Barney.
Out of the closet.
Barney was the one that like actually lit up, and okay. I like playing scary shit. Okay, sorry. I've been drinking a lot of mimosas during your topic. You probably could hear my cup doing this the whole time. Okay, so
sorry, we can't have straws because they kill whales.
Yeah, we don't kill whales. So they're caught. So at this time, department stores, like there was literal stampedes of people to get the Furbies. I remember my dad, like, I wanted one, and he went and got me a Furby, which was a big deal at the time.
So they came out in 98.
They were so wildly discussed that it even made it into President Bill Clinton's impeachment hearing the following months. He said, "The economy is strong. The stock market is great. Although some of us still can't get Furbies, so it's not strong enough." Because it was hard to get.
Old Bill had a Furby.
I guarantee you he probably got one at some point. So I remember that too. Like it was hard to get one, and it was like, "Dad, I want one." And it was like that kind of struggle, but you couldn't like get one.
It was like the toy craze.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So under all this Furby fever also came some Furby fear. A November 1998 article called "The Cute Yet Vaguely Menacing" article said that the Furby was slightly menacing, sinister looking. So after the initial excitement started to wear off, some customers decided that the concept of a lifelike toy with no off switch, and that was the thing. That's why I had to take the batteries
out. Oh,
you couldn't
turn it off.
No, there was no off. It never, like, there's no night mode. No, like, it would wake me up in the middle of the night, hungry.
Oh,
and then you
God.
Go and you put your finger in its mouth and go, like,
that's not freaky.
There was no off switch. So that freaked people out over time because it's like, this was fun, but now it doesn't go away. And it didn't. So, okay, if you imagine the time frame, this is like late 1990s, time when Y2K anxieties were already getting high around that era. Looking back now, that's a future topic. Y2K.
Oh, dang. Lived through that. Yeah. I got some stories to tell.
Yeah. So I found some like actual myths that were commonly thought about Furbies during that era that I want to walk through.
I'm already scared of this Furby thing.
Okay.
You know, I trust nobody and nothing.
Well,
so
then,
I'm suspect.
These conspiracy theories are right up your alley. All right, here we go. So parents thought Furbies were teaching their children swear words. So Furbies start out speaking like a fictional language that's actually called Furbish.
Oh.
Uh-huh. But with time and interaction, they begin incorporating more English words into the vocabulary.
So they are learning. There has to...
It looks like learning.
Oh.
Okay. So here's the deal. So it's actually all pre-programmed, but parents didn't know this. It was all pre-programmed and set to an internal clock. So over time, they would learn more words, but they were released basically as a software over time, not that they learned it. But parents and kids don't know that. It does. I mean, it's like you spend all this time with it. You do. You dedicate as a child time to this toy because you and see it learn. And all
of a sudden it comes up with something new. You're like, I taught it.
Yeah. It learned that. Or it's doing that now. Me. And it's because of you.
Yeah.
And so parents started picking up on that and thinking that that their kids were starting to, or that the Furby was picking up some of the foul language and repeating it. So in 2000.
So were they cussing?
Well, no. So in 2000, one Walmart in Pennsylvania removed some of the Furbies from the shelves after customers complained that it was cursing like sailors. Apparently, hug me sounded something far filthier.
Oh, like
you could imagine. Yeah. Yeah. So again, the Furbies like had this cute little but kind of hard to, Furbish slang. So it could have.
You can interpret it.
Sounded a different way.
You hear what you want to hear.
Especially
get your minds out of the gutter.
Especially if you're thinking at this time again, Y2K, like all this stuff, like what is tech doing that we don't know about? You know, we're getting these ideas put in our mind as well about what tech does. And they start thinking that Furbies are against
them.
What does tech do? Okay. So the second thing is that people thought Furbies could launch a space shuttle. These are legit myths that people carried for a while, not just like one crazed person on the internet. This is like masses of people. The general public grossly overestimated how advanced the Furbies were. So because these Furbies responded to light, touch, movement. So when you'd walk in the room, their eyes would wake up and they'd start talking to you. Turn on a light, they'd wake up. Like if you touch them, they'd like giggle. Like they would, they're very responsive. What color was yours? It was, one would look like a giraffe color.
Oh.
And the other was a zebra color.
So I was picturing an actual giraffe looking thing.
No, there is some weird, if you ever want to get weird on the internet, there's some long
giraffe Furbies. Print.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, there's like every print of a Furby. But now there's like repurposed, you can find websites where they like put the Furby faces on different things, and it's kind of creepy. And if you cut a Furby in half, their insides are terrifying, just so you know. Okay.
Well, if they weren't $74, I feel like I would buy one.
No, I actually, when I was going into this, I'm like, that was kind of fun. I have a feeling, though, that once I had it, I'd be like, oh my, I'd put it right back in the closet again to be like the Barney doll. Okay, so these conspiracies started coming up about, they thought that they, another thing too, Furbies could communicate with other Furbies.
Oh, how?
Which is pretty cool, right? So there was an infrared communication system, all of which was considered pretty cutting edge back then, you know? So although the technology wasn't like earth shattering, it still ended up creating some of these conspiracy theories. So like they could sense through the infrared, if you put two Furbies face to face to each other, they would talk to each other. And that was the infrared technology at the time, which is pretty cool. And you could have like conversations with your Furbies.
You could have a Furby party.
Right? So
let's all bring our Furby and hang out.
So someone said, I've been told that they were developing a Furby that can drive a car in the year 2000. Someone else, the president of Tiger Electronics, he told CBS in 1999, we've also been told that the current Furby has the technology to launch the space shuttle. We have one woman who has absolutely insisted that the Furby sings the Italian opera, which it doesn't. Like, we know that these are actually pre-recorded, timed, and everything, it's a closed loop system.
So
it doesn't actually take something.
Imaginations are running wild here.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this Furby, this new technology. We've never seen it. I mean, the robo dog that could do backflips was like right before this. So our minds are being blown at the moment. Right. Okay, so next, the NSA and the Pentagon actually thought Furbies were a national security risk.
I love that.
Right? Like, it's actually at that level.
So they were really, like, researching this.
So what happened was that a lot of high-ranking security officials fell for the idea that Furbies could hear information and keep that. So they felt that there was the NSA, the Pentagon, and the Norfolk Naval Shipyard actually banned the toy altogether from their premises in 1999. They said, quote, personally owned photographic, video, and audio recording equipment are prohibited items. The NSA wrote in a memo, this includes toys such as Furbies.
They were specifically called out.
Yes.
They didn't trust them.
No, with built-in recorders that repeat, and they said this, with built-in recorders that repeat audio with synthesized sound with that mimics the original. So, and first of all, like, who would want to bring their Furby, like, on their ship, but whatever, or on their tour of duty.
Do you still have your Furby?
No, I don't even know where it is. Did. I have bags of toys at my dad's house.
What if your dad has your there. Furby?
I don't
Macy's dad, check it out.
I could go up there and check it out. I'll rip open that plastic bag that's been in there for
You need to bring ever. It to the podcast.
Just the whole bag and explore it. We could cut it open together.
Yes.
It'll be like a treasure chest.
Help me.
It may not be there. I may have been so angry we got rid of it. I don't know.
But if your Barney's in there?
No, it wasn't my Barney. It was my sister's Barney. I definitely don't have a
Damn
Barney.
Damn it.
But I have other toys that are that were probably more important.
Like Cuddle Horse and
giant teddy bear that I really enjoyed. Okay. I'm gonna do that, by the way. That sounds fun. All right. So the rumors got so bad that they had to, the makers of Furby actually had to issue a statement to dispel them. So he said, although Furby is a clever toy, it does not record or mimic voices. The NSA did not do their homework. Furby is not a spy. I just love that, like, Furby duped the government.
You know, the government is not always that smart.
No, it's led by people. I've learned this.
Yeah, and people are not always that smart. Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Goes further. The Federal Aviation Administration thought Furbies would interfere with flight equipment.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they weren't really sure why, but they said things like CD players and laptops during takeoff and landings had to be shut down. And the FAA actually added Furbies to the list of restricted items. At the times, it was believed that Furbies might interfere with planes' equipment. Speaking to CBS in January 1999, one aviation safety consultant said he thought the new protocol might be a tad extreme, but he said, I can just see the announcement being made. Turn off your laptops, put away your Game Boys, and don't play with your Furby.
Quit playing with your Furby.
So people also thought Furbies would interfere with medical equipment. So they were banned from hospital wards in Scotland out of fear that the toys' low-level electromagnetic waves would interfere with medical devices. So one dean at the University of Calgary also expressed concerns that Furbies might confuse voice-activated medical equipment. And this is what he said. Let's say that Furbies hear the doctor saying, begin procedure 305 or something like that. And then the Furby plays it again. And all of a sudden you find radiation is being shot into some poor person.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that does sound terrible, right?
It sounds really terrible.
But guess what? They don't record and they don't mimic voices.
So why did people think they recorded?
Because they didn't trust technology then. It was so new. At that time, it was so new that, like, I mean, the whole thing, like, again, Y2K, the whole thing is, like, you know, what is technology going to do that we're not expecting?
So all it did was play things that were pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded and timed or interact with each other, but again, with pre-recorded things that would trigger pre-recorded things.
So it didn't ever learn.
No. And you can imagine, like, I'm sure at the time, the toy company probably wants to keep it, like, sort of, you know, magical feeling, and probably didn't initially disclose a lot of that, I would assume.
Right.
Until later when people are banning it from places and impacting sales.
Like, how much did it seem like it was learning, though? Like, did it start out with just like, hi, and then a year later it's like, let me tell you about life and death?
No, not like that much. Okay. No. I mean, actually, to be fair, I probably quit on my Furby way earlier than I should have.
You quit on your Furby. You didn't even see how much it could evolve.
I feel like that we might need to look that up.
Like, I want you to the bring most your Furby advanced Furby. In here.
If we have it, I'll look. Okay, so
I want to see that giraffe Furby.
In response, the Emergency Care Research Institute conducted an investigation and found no such danger. The Canadian's government also, the health minister, carried out a study and again said, nope, the Furby's not going to inject the patients with stuff. The latter study revealed that electric and magnetic fields given off by the ear wiggling, yeah, their ears wiggled and their eye blinking, fuzzy creatures are about 70 times weaker than those emitted by a digital telephone.
Did you love your Furby?
No.
Oh.
I wanted to love my Furby. That's what I'll say. Is like it, I dedicated a lot of time to it and then it became very obnoxious.
You begged and begged for your Furby and then what happened, Macy?
It became obnoxious and it wasn't worth it.
And you took the batteries out, effectively killing your Furby.
I think I remember like pleading my dad, like, how do I get it to turn off? Yeah, this is why I was not a teenage mom. Because I could not do it.
You're like, where are the batteries?
You can't take the batteries out of the baby. Okay, so the last one is people thought Furbies were made of real cat and dog fur. So, you know, as if it wasn't weird enough to have this gremlin-like toy, this rumor started going around. Someone went to the trouble to create a fake Humane Society press release, which claimed that Furby samples had tested positive for feline and canine DNA.
Oh, no.
The statement, which was made and actually appeared to look like there was an animal cruelty charge on media outlets. It like went wild. The animal welfare organization had to release a statement explaining that it wasn't behind that release statement. And Tiger Electronics also had to explain that it's 100% acrylic. A company spokesperson said that the fur is, yep, a lot of acrylics were killed in the naming of the Furbies.
So were people concerned that there was some kind of mass slaughtering of cats and that dogs?
Like, this fur, because it was soft. Them. It was like soft. I mean, it felt soft. But again, it was like,
you know what?
It was new at the time.
Plushy blankets can be very soft.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it. Those are my myths about Furbies.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Did you ever have a Tamagotchi?
Yes. Yeah. Remember we had the Tamagotchi episode?
Well, I never had any of these or anything. Oh, so really? I've just heard about all
I've
these
had
things.
So many Tamagotchis. I've killed so many Tamagotchis.
I've heard that they are very needy and
it's like you have to stay on top of it or they will die. I mean, the Furbies, what happens is like they will like, so say if you don't feed them regularly, which is putting your finger in their mouth and pressing on their tongue. If you don't do that, like they'll be like, whoa, whoa. They'll make these like noises that like
it's
things
so
aren't okay. Yes. And it's very loud. There's no volume control. Yes.
And did a lot of people kill their Furbies? Like more than take the batteries out? Like violently
I'm
kill
sure
them?
I'm sure if you looked up a YouTube video search that said kill Furby, you would get some crazy stuff.
No, I'm curious about it now.
It exists, I'm sure. Next time, I'm going to bring in that bag. I'm not even going to open it first. I'm going to bring this giant garbage bag of all of my old stuffed animals.
Yes, please.
And we'll cut it open and we'll see what's inside.
It's going to be like opening a time capsule.
I know. It's been forever, really.
In 1998, you know what I bought for Skylar? Mm-mm. It was another All the Rage toy, Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, yeah. He which you've that. Done that episode.
No.
Oh, no. Sorry. You did tickling and I called it Tickle Me Elmo because you talked about Tickle Me Elmo.
I did. Yeah. And that was like.
Did you put more in here? I keep drinking this. I'm like, why is it not going away?
The ice is melting.
Did you add more alcohol?
No.
You didn't go and pour more in here?
No. You were sitting
since
right
when?
Here.
Since
How
when?
Do I? How would I get away with sneaking that?
I'm not saying you snuck it. I'm just saying, did you pour more alcohol in?
No, that's
at any point you didn't add any more.
No, I mean at some point I did. I mean, the bottle's empty, so it went somewhere.
All right. Well, until next time, hug me.
Don't tickle me.